encourage young men to be self-controlled. One verse, but one powerful verse. Encourage young men to be self-controlled.
This is Straight Talk.
Well, I have to warn you that these messages for men are not for wimpy men. That's right. I am challenging men to rise up, and this is hardcore, straight to the heart stuff for men. Now, you have to understand that as I was teaching this Bible study, the audience were all men, and so we were cutting straight to the heart and not monkeying around as we look at what it means to be a man of God in this society that we live in. So if you're a man out there and have been wondering, what does it really mean to be a man of God? You want to listen to this series because I believe God's going to challenge your heart.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We are going to continue on with Pastor Mark's special recording from a live Bible study that was only for men. It's entitled Straight Talk for Men, and this is part two of The Making of a Man. Let's join Pastor Mark as he teaches out of the book of Titus, chapter 2.
Paul, writing to Titus in Titus chapter 2, talks to them about what older men or more mature men should be. Remember, temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, sound in faith, in love, endurance. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and he talks to Titus about the role of older women. And in verse 3, he addresses older women and how they should behave and what they should do. And in verse 4, he talks about younger women and what their role is and what they should be doing and how they should be trained by older women. And then in verse 6, I'm skipping those verses since this is a men's gathering. In verse 6, he jumps right to the core and now he starts talking to younger men. He says, similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled. One verse, but one powerful verse. How many guys do we have in here under 25? Raise your hand. Guys under 25. All right? We got quite a few. Guys under 25. He's addressing younger men, and I'm not sure if it's just under 25, could be 35 and under, but he's addressing younger men, and he says, basically, he's talked about the characteristics of older men, and then he says, now, I'm talking to younger men. This is younger in age, younger in their spiritual life, and he says, his big exhortation to the young men is this: one verse, one powerful verse, encourage. That word encourage means to spur on, to challenge, to exhort. When someone's discouraged, you say, come on, come on, you need to do this. It's not just a slight encouragement. It's a sort of a pushing encouragement. Like you push them a little bit. Push them forward. When someone doesn't want to dive off that high diving board and they're at the edge saying, I don't know. And you say, come on, come on, you could do it. Now, you don't push them off. Some of you have done that before, but you kind of say, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on. Go ahead, do it. Push them on. Encourage them. And he says, so encourage, exhort, push ahead. To do what? The big thing here is this one word, encourage young men to be self-controlled. Now, the verbiage in the tense that's used here is an active form, which means that encourage them now, at this present time, at this season in their life, to be self-controlled. Now, this word self-control is an interesting word. Let me just break it down for you. The word is sophroneo. Okay, it's a Greek word, sophroneo. And sophroneo is found in several other parts of Scripture. There's several other verses that use that very same word, but I want you to understand exactly why this is a huge characteristic for younger men and what exactly it means. You find this verse, for example, and we used it earlier, last week we used it in a passage. You find it in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by a legion of demons. This man was super possessed, hundreds of demons living inside of him, or dozens of demons living inside of him. And suddenly, he sits there, and he is soproneo. He's in his right mind, and they were afraid. It's used also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded, and the NIV says self-controlled, but it's really soproneo, self-controlled, so that you can pray. It's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, if we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God, but if we are soproneo in our right mind, it's for you. Here's the thought. Soproneo, if you look at the definition of the word, it means to be sound of mind, to exercise self-control, to curb one's passions, to be moderate in one's esteem of themselves. The idea here is that oftentimes when we're young, we're not in our right mind. That we tend to be an extreme. We don't curb our passions. In others, we have little self-control. We just kind of go with our passions. If our passions are strong, we just follow our passions. And he says one of the big things of younger men is that they need to be able to understand. They need to be able to be in their right mind. They need to not let their mind go out of control. They need to be able to harness their passion, curb their passions. They need to be able to think right, so that they're not impulsive, making foolish decisions, just out of control in the way they're living. That you need to teach them to think right, be self-controlled, be self-disciplined, be in the right mindset so that they're not all over the place. That's a huge thing for young men. Now, I was thinking a little bit about this, and I was thinking that, you know, recently they've come out with studies that they've discovered, I don't know, you've read about this recently, where they talk about teenagers yet don't have the frontal lobe of their brain developed. Anybody read about that? And so there's huge articles saying, well, no wonder they're out of control so many times. Their brain hasn't totally developed yet. Now I think if you're a teenager, you've got a brain and it's developed. But the area that includes judgment sometimes is not fully, fully developed. And so sometimes there's rash decisions that are made. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that young men, if you're going to grow to be men of God, one of the greatest challenges is that you can't let your passion run your life. You can't let your hormones run your life. You can't let whatever comes to your mind run your life. You have to learn to think straight, keep your body under control, and learn some self-discipline. Now, I got to thinking about that a little bit. I got to thinking about when I was a teenager and all the foolish things I did. And how it seemed like I lacked judgment sometimes. I thought I knew better than my parents because they were kind of old and didn't know as well as I did. It's amazing how you grow up, you realize, hey, my parents have really gotten smarter since I was 13. Seems like they know more. By the time you're 25, you're saying, you know, they've really gotten a lot smarter than when I was 13. By the time you're 27 and you're married, you're going asking advice from them. When you're 13, you're like, you know nothing. You're so old-fashioned. Get out of my face. You don't understand me. I think that's one of the famous words of a teenager. You just don't understand. Spoken from a father that has two teenagers right now. You just don't understand. But the idea here is to begin to build into right mind. And I was thinking about fathers and sons. And I was thinking about how do we instill discipline and self-control in the hearts and lives of young men. Now, I told you last week, I have two boys. I have an 8-year-old boy and I have a 13-year-old boy. Grant is 8, Josiah is 13. And it's my desire, my goal, to raise young men of God. It's part of my vision for life. I love being a pastor. I love reaching Chicago. I want to see thousands of people won to Christ. But guess what? Right up there on the same par with that big vision is my own kids and my own family. Right up there. Isn't it great to win people for Christ? Yeah, I want to win people for Christ. But you know what? I want to win my family. Just as passionate as I am about reaching thousands of people for Christ and doing a big work for the kingdom of God, I look at my family and my challenge of discipling my boys, loving my wife, being faithful to her, having a great marriage. I see that just at the same level as a vision of reaching a big city, because for me, it's on the same par. And hello, just as challenging. Just as challenging. And so as I began to think about this, I began to think about what is it, how do dads instill, how do we instill this into our boys? And how do we teach this idea of self-control, of thinking right about themselves? Because this idea has to do with someone thinking right about themselves and being able to discipline themselves and have self-control in their life. It's all wrapped up in one word, supraneo. Robert Lewis is a guy that writes a lot to men, and he wrote a book a while back called The Modern Day Knight. Any of you men heard about that before? Raising Modern Day Knights. And he really compares the idea of raising young men to the idea of knights, the knights of old. And he argues a little bit in this book that one of the problems that we have today in today's society is that we have few rites of passage for young men. That the vision of what it is to be a young man, to be a man, is not clear in our minds, so therefore we send very confusing mixed messages down to our boys. And because as fathers our idea of manhood is a little bit skewed, then we really don't know what to convey to our boys as we're raising them. So there's fog in our mind and there's confusion in their heart because we're not sure what we're raising them to be or what is the vision of what a man really is. And so I'm quoting. He basically suggests that one of the greatest challenges in today's society is developing a vision for manhood. That we need to understand what it is to be a man. And we need to have a vision, a clear-cut idea what a man is. And we need to start with the clear-cut idea so that we can convey it to our boys so our boys understand, this is what I'm growing up to be. We get a lot of confusing messages because a lot of times our heroes are what we see on TV. Most boys that are 13, 14, 15 years old, when you ask them, who's your hero and who do you want to grow up to be, who do they say typically? A sports, an athlete, a musician, a rock star, a television personality. So who do you want to grow up to be? Well, you know, if someone's trying to grow up to be like Michael Jackson, whew, they're going to have some really funny views about what it is to be a man. If that's your view of manhood, you're going to have to really define things a little bit.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Making of a Man, which is from our series called Straight Talk for Men. Stay tuned to learn how you get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Here's Pastor Mark with The Making of a Man.
If your view of manhood is to be as womanly-like as you can, and, you know, there's this image, this distortion, this, wow. Or what is our view of manhood? Pick an athlete. We've had a couple in the news. If it's Tank Johnson, yeah, I want to be a man like him. There's weapons and we're tough and, you know, they're being kicked out, put in prison, arrested several times. Is that your view of manhood? Or you know, yeah, I want to be like one of the latest singers or television actors, which oftentimes most of our vision, most of our heroes that we embrace as heroes have serious defects in them and really don't represent the values of what it really means to be a man. We tend to imitate. We tend to imitate the people that we respect. And so we have young boys that are swearing, using four-letter words about this and that and the other because their hero is Eminem, and that's who they want to be like, and who talks some trashy, nasty talk about his mother and what he's going to do to this person and that person. But if that's your hero, if that's what you listen to, if that's your vision of what a man really is, then that's who you start becoming. And so it's up to fathers and it's up to mentors. It's up to us as men to be able to know, what is a man? What is a vision of manhood that catches our heart? You see, because I believe that we are all created in the image of God, and we don't make up the definition of a man. I think that it's imprinted within our soul and our heart. God created man. He created Adam in the beginning, and then he created Eve out of Adam. And so it was already built in his DNA what a man was. And man was made in the image of God, and God created him with a certain kind of makeup, a DNA, certain characteristics, certain built-in longings that every man, from the guys that run around in little skirts in Africa with big bones in their nose, to the man down in New York City with a $2,000 suit, cell phone in the ear, some of the same desires and some of the same built-in characteristics of what they desire in manhood is there in all of us because we're made in the image of God. And it's kind of discovering, well, what is that? Well, we have to go to the scripture to define it and understand it. And I've tried to pinpoint a few things. Let me just in a simple way tell you about two years back, I wanted to do something with my sons to convey this idea. I was thinking about manhood, and so we happened to be away and with some friends, and so we took about six boys on this little camping trip. And I called it Boys to Men Camping Trip. I just wanted to do something in this camping trip where they would feel like, hey, this is like the big boy stuff. And so I had been reading a book called Wild at Heart. Some of you, John Eldridge wrote a book, Wild at Heart, where he talks about, hey, God has placed within us this adventure, this desire to go out. And sometimes our society and our system has feminized men and has taken away a lot of the things that God created us with, has told us, no, that's wrong, bad, you shouldn't be like that, and has kind of distorted what a man really is. And so I wanted to convey to my boys, all right, what is it, what are some of these key characteristics that are built in us by God himself that really characterize manhood to a large degree? And so I took a little bit from John Eldridge's book, and I came up with a phrase. And with the boys, as we started out, I had them memorize this phrase. And the phrase was this: every young man needs a king to serve, needs a woman to love, needs a battle to fight, and needs a creed to live by. Every young man needs a king to serve, needs a woman to love, needs a battle to fight, and needs a creed to live by. Now, I like that statement because it's simple. But what it does is it hits at some of the key things that God has built within our hearts and what it means to really be a man. You see, I think that I want my boys to understand, as we talk about being sound-minded, I want them to know who they are. I want them to know what it means to be a man. And I want them to develop this sense of I'm moving towards manhood. And my sense of manhood is developed in part by who I am before God. I believe every man has a desire to serve a king. And that's God himself, King Jesus. And so there's a part of us, we were built and designed to serve our Creator, to serve our King. Every man deep inside is made in the image of God. But every man deep inside, there's a longing to worship God, a longing to serve God. Our sinful nature has broken some of that. Rebellion has set in. Pride has set in. But that Spirit of God draws us to serve our King. And there's a part of us that is built and designed to live for God. So deep inside every man, I believe there's a desire to serve a king. There's a desire to serve King Jesus. And we see sometimes men serve other kings, give themselves to something that's greater, human kings and human presidents and causes. But I believe deep inside, God has created this desire to serve a king, to serve a king. I believe also that not only does every man need to serve a king. And by the way, if Jesus isn't your king, you'll find a king to serve. You understand that? Because you were built to serve a king. You were made to serve a king. So if it's not King Jesus, it'll be King Self. Or it'll be King Job. Or King Money. Or King Pride. Or King Gain. But you'll serve some king because you're built to do that. There's something inside of you that says, yeah, I want to do that. Designed to do that. And we all put something Lord of our life. And if it's not King Jesus, you're going to mess up royally. And some of you were kings of your life for a long time and it led you down a path of destruction. You thought it's what you wanted. You don't want anybody to tell you what you to do because you were king of your own life. And you know what? It led you to this cycle, vicious cycle, down the drain really fast. And you ended up one day saying, I made a mess of my life. Maybe I need to give the reins over to another king. You are best as a man when you are serving Jesus as king. You are in your place as a man. You are most fulfilled as a man when you understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. There's something inside of you that says, yeah, this is right. This is good. This is where I was meant to be. The second thing is that every man not only needs a king to serve, and that sets your course on life. And every young boy, I was 15 when it happened in my life. I had grown up in the church and knew about God. But you see, God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. Hello? And I don't care if your parents are preachers, pastors, missionaries, love the Lord. Every boy has to come to a point in their own life where they choose to follow God. And here's how it usually works. When you're 6 years old, you're 5 years old, if your parents are Christians, they start talking, and one day your little boy says, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I want to follow Jesus. I haven't accepted Jesus. And as a father, you say, I need to, hey, my son's dying to be saved here, so I'm going to lead him in a prayer. And they accept the Lord, right? When they're 5, 6, 7 years old, we all celebrate it, high five. I still remember when my kids did, and it was a great thing. However, I don't want to undermine that because that's huge. That's important. But to a large extent, a six-year-old is riding on the faith of their parents. A six-year-old will believe anything their parents say, basically, and are riding on the faith of their parents. But when a child goes through the maturation process, and when a child starts to develop their own manhood and goes through puberty, and now they're breaking away from the parents, then they almost have to make another decision. Was that my parents' faith or is that my faith? Because now I'm my own man. And at junior high age, 13, 14 years old, a natural thing happens. Now, we as fathers sometimes don't like it. And we think, what's happening with my young boy that was so compliant and always obedient? Because suddenly now he's saying, Dad, don't tell me. Dad, I don't want to. You're always, a natural thing is happening. He's becoming a young man. A young man pulls away from his parents because he's got to develop his own stance. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, it can't lead down the road of rebellion. And if you're an overprotective father, it's a bad thing. Overprotective mothers and overprotective fathers lead to weak men in the future. By the way, an overprotective, domineering mother and an emotionally distant, detached father oftentimes leads to sexual confusion and boys that grow up thinking they're homosexual when they're really not. They just have this weird mixing of signals in their mind because they desire the affection of the father, but they have the role of a mother that seems like a father, so they start being attracted towards other men. They're not homosexual. They weren't born that way. There's no such thing as a boy that's born homosexual. There's no such thing. That's an invention of our own society. Amen. So don't buy into that. But if you're a detached father and there's a dominant mother, then we start crisscrossing things. And if you add into that some abuse that happens at a young age that confuses people, I've sat down and talked to a lot of boys that think they're homosexual. I've talked to them at length about it. And I could tell you the story over and over and over and over and over and over again.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled, The Making of a Man. It's from his current series called Straight Talk for Men. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.